word to share with us this morning that you mentioned to me. So Cheryl, I'm going to invite you to come and share that word with us. And this means that...
You have to interpret.
No, this means that Scarlett will, or Noelle, any of you.
Edgar.
Well, yeah, Edgar. I know. That Donna, you don't have to do this. Okay.
Good morning, family. God really made me take notice the other day that we have an old covenant and we have a new covenant, an Old Testament, a New Testament. And you know, a covenant is an agreement and a testament is a will. And both of these are legal documents. And we never really look at this, but everybody has a spiritual following. But that spiritual following has a book that you follow as well. And when you sign up to that, when you sign that contract, you do it by accepting Jesus. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you would sign a contract without knowing your responsibilities and privileges that belong to that contract? And so when you look at your Bible, I want you to remember, it's a contract that you've agreed to with God. He's offered us so much blessing in it. And if you don't know what it is, you don't know how to operate with it. So I encourage you to remember that you have signed up to the Christian contract and you are blessed by it. Find out how much.
Amen. I think what she's saying is you need to read the fine print. You need to find out just how amazing this covenant that you have with God is. How amazing it is. All right. Well, this morning is Soap Sunday. And every first Sunday of the month is Soap Sunday. And the word SOAP is an acronym. It stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. And see, we encourage you that as you read your Bible, as you read the fine print, as you read the covenant that you have with Almighty God, who is a covenant keeper, as you read that, the Holy Spirit will quicken a verse or quicken a couple of verses to you every day. He really will. If you pray before you read your Bible, and when he does that, write those verses down. That's the scripture. And then spend some time prayerfully observing what's happening in that scripture and what God is saying to you through that portion or that verse of scripture. And then pray and say, Lord, how do I apply this to my life now? And take some time and write out the application and then turn it into a prayer. It's an amazing thing. And it's an honor that we have a privilege to be able to walk with God that way. Now, one of the rules that we have is you've got 6 minutes to share. And the reason we limit it to 6 minutes is so that everybody that wants to share will actually have an opportunity to share. And so when you hit 5 minutes, I'm going to do this. And it's not because I'm mean. It's not because I'm trying to pick on you. It's just because we want to make opportunity for everyone that wants to share. Now, here's the other thing. If you're sharing a soap this morning, there's papers like this right up behind the monitor there. And I want you to take a minute, grab two of those papers, write the verse of Scripture, maybe even the version of the Bible, and hand it to the overhead person right there, and then also hand one to Cheryl. She's in that booth right back there. She always hides back there. Every Sunday, Anyway, so please take a minute to do that. And what that does, it allows the overhead person to be able to put your Scripture up there when you share it. It gives Cheryl a chance to look it up in the Spanish Bible so that she can interpret it. All right. So, but the first thing I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to invite Samuel to come up because he doesn't really have a soap to share this morning. But I said, man, you can use your 6 minutes to share a testimony of how it went at the sleep center yesterday. And so here it comes. I believe it's on.
Thank you. So, You guys know that Stacy and I have headed up going to the sleep center for quite some time. And when we first started going there, the directive was, keep quiet, don't say anything, just listen. And we listened to the stories of people for a very long time. And I didn't really fully understand that at first, because I thought, dang, I want to go. I want to share the Lord with these people, right? What I learned was, by keeping quiet, it did two things. One, it gave me an appreciation for where these people are at. Very, very articulate, very intelligent. And it also gave me credibility, gave Stacy credibility. So I kept on doing this, and there were a few opportunities to say a phrase here and there in the lives. And because we kept quiet for so long, it meant something more. It wasn't the walls are up, I'm expecting them to be the Christian, and so I have my Christian defenses out. By listening, it lowered them. Okay, so I had been going there, tying flies, just for another avenue of making connections. And one day, I'm looking across the common area, and here's this woman flipping me off, double-fisted just. And I'm thinking, oh boy, what did I do? Did I do or say something wrong? And every time I try to make eye contact with her, she glares, double-fisted. I go, okay, well, maybe she's having a bad day, whatever. And I hear the Lord put an idea in my head, give her a fly. So I get done tying a fly, and I try to give it to her, and she's just avoiding me and turning her back and walking away. And I said, this is for you. I made this for you. And she got upset. Get away from me. Get away from me. Okay. About a month later, she was on the outside of the sleep center with some friends, and the Lord put it upon my heart to ask her what she needs, right? Full expecting the same, get away from me. But she didn't. She said, yeah, I'm pretty hungry. I said, well, what can I get you? She says, I want Lucky Charms. Okay, all right, fine. So I went to the store, I got her some Lucky Charms, and I got her some other things as well. And I drive back to the sleep center, and she's still on the outside, and I hand it to her, and she's, thanks, and grabs it, kind of walks off, right? And just as I'm driving away, I hear, I don't know exactly how to describe it. It wasn't me, and it was definitely not the Lord, but what I heard was, ha, I just got you to feed one of my daughters. And immediately, just as that word was put into my ear, I speak aloud saying, yeah? My God died for her. And so last Sunday during Resurrection Sunday, Stacy and I go, and we're doing a service for them, and here comes that same woman walking from her hut into this open area, picnic area, right? And I go, oh, no, no, no. She's going to be upset. She's going to manifest. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. But she didn't. She comes right up. She sits right next to Stacy and looks at her and just is listening. And Stacy's giving a testimony, and it's really, really powerful. And she's just listening. She gets up. Okay, that's it. She's going to walk away. But she doesn't. She comes back around to the table where we had some stacks of New Testament Bibles and one of those red and yellow books that Mickey gave us. And she picks them up, and I go, okay, here it is. She's going to get angry and upset, and she's going to look through it and throw them away and stomp off. But she didn't. She looks at them, flips through them, and keeps them. And she walks back around, sits down right next to Stacy as Stacy's finishing. And I wanted to share this story with you because every single one of you in this room have onus into the lives of these people that we're touching, because every single one of you either supports us with providing a meal, providing things for the Christmas presents, prayers, everything, and it has an impact on these people's lives. And how this woman responded to the gospel was awesome, was great, and it's a testimony to everyone in this building. Everyone here has an onus in what's going on there. It's not just Stacy and I, it's everybody here. So I want to say thank you so very much for your prayers, for your support, in whatever way that looks like. Thank you so very much. The other thing I want to encourage you with is this, that in the small things, large things can and do happen in lives of people that you would think are discounted. She is not discounted. God loves her. God died for her. God died for every single one of those people and us. And so when we take a look at a situation and go, that's too far. Nothing is too far for the Lord. Nothing. Keep on praying for those in your families, in your workshop, in your personal life, because God can and will come through. Seeds are being planted with whatever you are doing. Keep it up.
Hallelujah. Isn't it great to hear about things like that? Testimonies are so good, so important. Who else has a soap to share today? Michelle? What a shock. John, did that shock you too, that she has a soap?
Thank you. So my soap is Hebrews 4:12. And the NLT, but I also want to read the Passion Translation also, but I'll read the NLT first. And the title. My title is God's Word is My Weapon. So, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And then in the Passion Translation, it says, for we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. So my observation is that the Bible reminds me who God is, which helps remind me who I am, since I was created in God's image. It encourages me, strengthens me, and renews me. Memorizing scripture and repeating it often can actually rewire my brain to replace the toxic lies with transforming truth and help me cultivate the mind of Christ and discerning what to do when decisions need to be made. It gives me wisdom and knowledge on a foundational level. My application is that God's word is my weapon to help me fight lies with truth. To continue reading, soaping, meditating, and memorizing his word as it will radically shape how I live out his love in this world. And then my short prayer is, Lord, thank you for giving me your word, the very core of truth and love, the stabilizing and foundational status for every area of my life. Lord, help me not just read your word, but to absorb it within me, that I may live it out in all areas, and reveal to me a way that I can live out your word today and every day. Give me a fresh and new perspective as I read your word. Reveal yourself to me in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Makes me want to just grab my sword and do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. I just got a notice from Camden Callan is here. Born 4/5/2024. 2218 is when he was born. 9.42 pounds, 20 inches long. He is doing good, and Lily is doing awesome. Anyway, I do have some pictures. Praise God. We can rejoice, can't we? Good things are happening. All right, who else has a soap to share today? Dave, come on.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. The scripture is 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Like that. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Observation. There is only one mediator. Application. There's only one connection to God. My prayer. Jesus, men have tried to work around God and his mediator. There is this pride of misconception that we are good enough as we are. Our sins are good enough to keep us from heaven. We keep ourselves from the blood of the Lamb that has been spilled for us. We denied our acceptable sacrifice, trying to offer our own good works. We say, well, I don't think God would. What did God tell you that he will do? Your sacrifice is not acceptable. You are not the one sent for the sacrifice. You are the one to receive the acceptable sacrifice from God. He has made a way for you to heaven, to the heaven of God through his Son. Your man thinking will not save you. Your man asking Jesus to come into you will save you. Be a resolute person and ask God for his Son, Jesus, to come into you and save you from yourself. Ask him now. Jesus, lead us all to our request of a revision in our lives. Let us ask for you in our lives. Please come in and change me. Make me the man, make me the woman that reflects in your eye, the one you have sought and rejoice in. Heaven is playing our song, a chorus for us. Jesus, forgive our sins. Make us new in you. Change our likeness to you. Change our heart. Amen.
I was just waiting for the altar call. Amen. Who else has a soap to share today? You know, if you don't, I'm just going to preach. You know that, don't you? You bring it on to yourself. Careful about scratching your ear, Weeda. You might have to do a soap. I'll do it. All right, I'm going to put this in my pocket. And if you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. My soap is these four verses of scripture in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. And let me just read the verses through first. Man, I've got a lot of time. It's amazing. I always appreciate hearing the soaps that you share on Soap Sunday, because I'm always encouraged by it, just to hear what God's doing and what he's saying to you. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, "Have you not heard? I'm sorry, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Sorry, is this on? It's not wise to have more than one mic on. It just isn't. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I've appreciated a lot of things that have been shared today, from soaps to words to testimonies. The word that Sarah was sharing towards the end of worship just flows with my message today. How many of you know that God is the God of hope? And we can find ourselves sometimes in a place of hopelessness because our focus is on external things. That's all we can see. Everything that's wrong around us. And we're distracted from our intimacy. We're distracted from our connection with the Lord by all of those things, and we get caught up in it. It's almost like the chaos that's going on around us gets inside of us. And sometimes all we really need to do, yes, I've got it. Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
Sometimes all we have to do is get quiet. Be still and know that he is God. Sometimes we just need to get quiet. Turn in from all those things going on around us. You know, Jesus lived with such an amazing dimension of peace. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived in such peace that he was always in this place of rest internally. It didn't matter what was going on around him. You know, we talked, I think, a couple weeks ago about the time that they were in this storm. They're in a boat. They're in a storm. And these are fishermen that have been fishing all their lives, and they're scared like they're going to die. This must have been some kind of storm. Well, guess what? Jesus is sleeping. He's sleeping. They wake him up. "Don't you care that we're perishing?" Which is a strange question to ask the Savior of the world. And he wakes up, and the peace that was in him, he just released it. He released it to the storm. He released it to all the things that were going on around him, and everything quieted. See, sometimes when we're going through things that are trying to make us feel hopeless, we need to just take a time out. Just imagine that God says to you, "I'm sorry, you're in time out. You need to get quiet. You need to commune with me. You need to let me give you heaven's perspective so that I can release through you what I want to release into your circumstances." Verse 28, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God is never weary. Now, I can't relate to that very well because I have a certain amount of energy. But if I use it up on things earlier in the day, I can find myself spent. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not just a physical thing. It can be physically, but it can also be mentally. I can find myself mentally spent. And yet God has this unending strength, unending power. And I believe that God is trying to tell me something here, and I want to get it. I want to understand it. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. God has extra strength to give to those who are weak or weary. If I am spent, there is a source of strength that is available from the God of the universe. And see, God is not just all-powerful. He's not just the God of unending strength and power. Remember, he is a benevolent God. He wants to give us what he has. He wants to give it to others. He wants to give power to the weak. He wants to give might to those who have no strength. Now, the next verse, we have to read it in the context of the following verse because it's just one sentence, okay? Verse 30, versículo 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, see, strength is often associated with youth, implying that as you get older, the less strength you have. And the sad thing is, probably most of us can relate to that. But what if I told you there's a supernatural source of strength available, and it's reserved for those who feel weak and who have no might, and it's greater than the strength of youthfulness. It will take you farther than youthful strength can take you. Do I have your attention? 2 years ago, Mitchell and I were in Mexico City. We're ministering in a church there, and these were the pastors that I traveled with Randy Clark, Global Awakening, with, and we were at a conference there. And these pastors are up in age, and they said, can we stop by and see you at your hotel? And we said, sure. And so we met, not in our hotel room, but down in an area, kind of a back room area from the lobby. And they said, would you just pray for us? We're trying to figure out whether we're supposed to retire or keep going. We just don't know quite what to do here. And so we're praying for them. And I really felt like the Lord said, you know, you have served God all of your lives. If you want to retire, kick back, just hang out with your grandkids, love on them, sow the kingdom, the seeds of the kingdom into your grandkids, I think God would be just fine with that. But if you want to keep going, you need to believe God to renew your youth like the eagle. If you want to keep going, if you want to keep, you know, all your cylinders firing as you're moving forward, you need to believe God to restore youthfulness. It's not just a mindset. I'm sure that's something to it. But there's physically something that's available. You know, I love the story of Caleb. He's one of my favorite guys in the Bible. And I guess it's his tenacity. You know, he was one of two spies that did not bring back an evil report, that believed God. And, you know, when he was checking out the promised land, he decided where his inheritance was going to be. He had a mountain. Now, it was inhabited, but he was going to take that mountain. And so 40 years later, He said, listen, now they're coming into the promised land. And he said, listen, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. He said, let me take my mountain. What is that? You know, part of youthfulness being renewed has to do with vision. A dream, a purpose, a calling on my life. I'm going to take that ground. I'm going to, as an inheritance for my children, I'm going after this. And that was 2 years ago with Pastors Juan Jose and Lucero. And I've been meditating on that for 2 years. And I believe that God has just been stirring something in me. You know, we just read about rising up like on the wings of eagles. And in Psalm 103, verse 7, it says that, well, let me start at the beginning. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The fine print. All the blessings of God. God says, I don't want you to forget this. I want you to believe me for these things. Don't forget. Who forgives all your iniquities? Glory to God. Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your life with good things? So that your youth is renewed, I'm talking too fast, like the eagles. Now, I know it says in the King James, who satisfies your mouth with good things, almost making it sound like it's you got, if you eat the right things, this will happen. But the word mouth is not in the Hebrew. That's why it's not in any other translation other than the King James and the New King James. Who satisfies your life. The word life there could actually be translated your desires. It's like he fulfills your desires, and it's like a renewing of your youth, like the eagle. And see, Caleb hung on to that promise of that mountain. He dreamed about it every night. He lived to conquer that mountain, and I believe it kept him young. I believe it kept him on fire for God. In the events of life, and all that life can throw at us, even when young people are fainting and becoming weary, when young people are utterly falling, there is an amazing source of strength. Where is it found? What is it? How do I get it? Versículo 31, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall man up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, we're still in the observation part of my soap. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? The psalmist used that phrase a lot. In fact, I would encourage you, if you want to do an amazing study in Scripture, find the phrase wait or waiting on the Lord. And discover all the amazing promises that are associated with that phrase. I mean, just even in the book of Psalms, it's amazing. How can I renew my strength? How can I mount up like the wings of eagles, like with wings like eagles? How can I run and not be weary? How can I walk and not faint? Well, back to the first question. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? The Hebrew word that's translated wait, kava, it has three definitions to it. The first one is a binding together, like twisting together. The second one is to collect, as in to acquire. And the third one is to expect. So it actually doesn't mean, waiting on the Lord actually doesn't mean sitting around twiddling your thumbs, waiting for God to do something. That's not the implication of this Hebrew word. It's more about the state of mind than the state of body. I heard it defined this way one time: to go about the routines of life with a fervent, patient hope that God will consummate his will in his time. It is a living with a divine expectation of God showing up, of prayers being answered. Wait on the Lord for him to act, to deliver, to save, to answer prayer, to provide our needs, to renew our strength, to reveal his glory, to do the things only God can do. We wait on him because he is God and we are not. He can accomplish what we cannot. As we wait on him, he changes us and he strengthens us. Now, the first part of this definition, to bind together by twisting, as I wait on the Lord, as we wait on the Lord, we are entwining ourselves with him in order to take on his strength. Imagine that I am a piece of string. A string doesn't have a great amount of strength. It can only handle so much, then it will break. But imagine I begin to bind myself together with a rope made of metal wire that's 10,000 times stronger than I am. I will actually begin to take on the strength of that stronger wire. Waiting on the Lord is a picture of entwining myself with him. It is a picture of exchange. I am exchanging who I am for who he is. I am being changed in the process as I begin to entwine myself with the Lord. I begin to take on his strength. Now, the second definition, to collect. I'm collecting something when I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm acquiring his perspective. How many know how important that is? I can't tell you how many times I have come to church, especially as a young Christian, struggling. My perspective is I'm struggling. And sometimes it was during the message, but oftentimes it would actually be doing worship. When I'm worshiping the Lord, when I'm letting go of all my stuff and just worshiping him, it's like a perspective comes. It's like his perspective. I'm seeing all these things through his eyes, and the weight of it just falls off of me. I'm no longer struggling. When the youth faint and are weary, when the young man utterly fall, I can keep going. Because I'm tapped into something beyond human strength. Spiritual strength comes from waiting on the Lord. Now, I'm going to read a verse to you that wasn't part of my soap, but I'm just going to read it. Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Just one of the places in Psalms where it uses this phrase. Be of good courage. That's hope. Hope restored. Be encouraged. Have expectation. As you wait on the Lord, he is going to strengthen your heart. Spiritual strength comes from waiting on the Lord. Now, the third part of the definition of waiting is to expect. To live with the expectation of God's intervention. To walk through life with the realization that God is going to show up and I will be changed. My circumstances will be changed. God will be exalted. You know, how many of you know who Ann Kimmel is? You know what amazed me about her is she just lived life with this expectation for God to show up. Every moment was a divine appointment. Any place I am, God is with me, so God's here. Let's see what he's going to do. She just lived life with that kind of an expectation. I believe that that's what God desires to do in each of us. And that, I believe that's what waiting on the Lord, as you spend time with him in the secret place, as you call out to him in the secret place, you will actually see, when you step out of the secret place into just the routines of life, you will see God show up. Jesus said it this way, that you, when you pray, enter into your room and shut the door and you know, spend time with the Father who is in the secret place, and he will reward you openly. In other words, you're spending time in the secret place. As you go out into life, God is rewarding you there. Okay, you ready for the application? You guys doing okay? What time is it? Wow. I think this is the longest I've ever stretched out a soap. The application. I have been admonished by Scripture to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I recognize my own personal strength is limited. It can only go so far, then it's spent. It's gone. How can I incorporate the truth of this passage into my life? You know, obviously I need to learn to more effectively wait on the Lord. Holy Spirit, show me how to do that, how to apply that to my life. To wait on the Lord means to bind together, to collect, to express. What practices can I incorporate into my life that will entwine me with the Lord, that will allow me to connect or partake of his strength and to stay in this place of expecting God to show up? Obviously, I know that time in prayer, time in the Word, those are key. But I also want to embrace my other routines, any other responsibilities that I have in a way where I'm continually leaning into him, where I'm living with an expectation of my Father showing up, where his kingdom will come, where his will be done. I'm going to invite the worship team to come this morning. Then I'm going to share the prayer part of this. Actually, I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. I'm going to invite you to pray with me in this prayer. You know, oftentimes when the Word stirs in our heart, we can even sometimes observe things, we can even sometimes make applications, but how many of you know we need the Holy Spirit to really walk it out? We need God's help to incorporate it into our lives. So pray this with me. Father, I want to walk in your strength. I need your strength. Mine is limited. I want to do everything that you've called me to do. I don't want to peter out. Holy Spirit, you live inside of me. Every moment is a divine moment. Help me to focus on you in everything I do. Help me to walk in a new sense of your presence. Help me to live with a divine expectation. You want to show up. You want to release your kingdom. Here I am. Use me in Jesus' name. Let's just take a moment and worship the Lord together.
Peace, the storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again, and I will praise. Breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again, and I will praise. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, 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 you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Baptism next Sunday. I want to invite prayer teams to come and just be available to pray for people this morning. The benediction I want to give you is Jude chapter 1, 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. God bless you, saints. Have a great, great week.